One last question that we'd like to ask everybody. Just raise your hand nice and high if you feel like you learned something new here today. Yeah.
All right, we'll take two.
So thank you guys very much.
They say you shouldn't tip cows. We could always tip a cowboy.
Yeah,
welcome to the Official and Practical Jokers podcast. My name is Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
I am Tina Santamaro.
And this is a part two. That's right. Last week we had Sal and Ian as guests, and they stayed on. And we have a new guest for tonight, James.
We've got Brian BQ Quinn joining us on the pod.
How fun.
I love it.
And this is another great episode. So we kind of talked about more of behind-the-scenes stuff in this episode than we did last week.
Yeah, but I think you're really going to dig it.
You're going to love it. And without further ado, here we go.
Yeah.
We got Sal and Ian Fidance, of course.
It's our last two episodes, so it's, you know, a special
and we got finale. Brian Quinn just joined us. How fun is this?
Good. I didn't know you could be on. Sal is great.
I know. I was on the one prior, so I'm kind of like, I'm not letting the door hit me in the yet.
Oh, okay. Nice.
You know what's great is we were just talking about like Mission Uncomfortable turning into Impractical Jokers, but do you guys remember like the first controversy of the show? What was that like, that like Southern radio show that said that you stole the idea?
I forgot about that.
Tom and Dave? Was it Tom and Dave?
Or Ted and someone? You know, I forget what it was. It was like these two guys that were like, we invented this idea of like telling each other what to do or something. But
yeah.
And then they tried to make like a whole Facebook like account or like a hashtag or whatever it was, like a big petition.
I don't remember the specifics of it, but now you jog my memory, and they were like kind of like detractors or something, and some of their fans would like write us, and like, but it was like, I mean, when I say like, it was like five people, I don't think it was like anything, whatever,
but we watched us at the time, like, show just started, so we were kind of nervous about it.
We were like hunting for all their bits to see what they even talked about. We couldn't even understand what they meant.
Yeah.
I think they saw like a description of the show, like on paper or something. It was like, that's close to what we were thinking.
Yeah, I remember we got an email from True, like trying to explain to us how we should respond. And I was like, my response is to ignore this completely. Yeah. And it worked.
There was also, I don't know who got it. Maybe like there was a Tenderlines account, but there was a voicemail that was like, you Impractical Jokers think you're so funny.
Oh, whose was that?
I remember hearing that.
I think it was Gatto.
We have that. Someone has that audio. Yeah. And he just went on and on and on, right?
And like, he was like, it was like, you think you're funny. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not. It was like a bully trying to bully through like a voicemail until it just comes off so sad.
It's a really funny bit if it was just someone trying to be funny, like if it was Ian doing it or something. Like,
yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. It was me. It's the longest prank. It's Andy Kaufman-esque how long the prank has been.
This was the big reveal.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's all an intricate plan.
You know, we were talking about early days a little bit, and
we barely talked about the show.
We barely did.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about the Texas episode, which was what we were supposed to talk about with Q, because that was our first travel episode, right?
Yeah, it was.
I thought Miami was. It was Texas.
Yeah, Texas. And that was fun. That was like a real bonding experience for the crew. And
oh, it was great we still haven't really done this on location shooting. We moved, the whole crew moved from city to city. It was like a tour. We didn't stay in one spot and then shoot you there and there. It was a different hotel almost every night. So it was like, we got to the hotel, everybody checked in. What time are we meeting at the bar? Then everybody just went downstairs and met at the hotel bar. It was like, it was a really fun trip.
So it was Austin, Houston, and San Antonio?
Yeah.
Because
that sounds
right. Not Dallas though. Because we went to the Western Wear store, which was in Austin.
So we did Allen's Boots in Austin.
That was the Western Allen's Wear. Boots. Yeah. It was Boots and And then there was also the Ranch Skills, but then the Punishment was San Antonio, right? For you.
That was San Antonio. That was at Tejas, I think it was called.
Yeah, it was. And we had to throw that rodeo. We had to produce that whole thing.
Yes, but also the guy made a steak, and to this day it was top three steaks I've ever had.
Oh, steak. I think you said a guy made a mistake. And yeah. You said it was the top
three mistakes. Top three mistakes.
Got to go penicillin number one. This guy.
But he made that rodeo. Remember, Q, he made that bowl of steak tips that
were it was unbelievable.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Wagyu, right? I had never heard of it before.
No, it was unbelievable.
It melted in your mouth like butter. It was awesome.
It's so funny because that's true. Like whenever we reminisce about like, oh, the Texas trip, like on a podcast, people expect it to be like, I remember it was a tough day of shooting. But really, it's just like the food was great. And like we liked it. We moved to different hotels. Like it's like really the fun. That's like the fun stuff that you remember.
Yeah. Stayed in some dive hotels on that trip.
Yeah.
Just those musty, like disgusting hotels. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. How did you get from city to city? Was it, were you in a bus? Like you were on tour?
No, we rented cars. Right? We had rented cars and drove.
12
yeah.
passengers, right? And wasn't there a lot of 12 passes too?
Yeah, the vans for the crew.
So I always kind of luck out in that I stick around you guys. And so I get to like hang out in whatever accommodations you guys get. And I really truly weasel my way. The best version of it was Hawaii, which I didn't even stay at the same room you guys did, but I ended up like, I was like, I got to talk creative with them. So Shay would pick me up and we'd go to your hotel. And then I'd get in all the rides in like that van, which was not a van full of it, like all the stinky crew that were like smelled like stinky crew.
It was a van not full of the lessers.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a shot at them. It's just that they've been boozing all night long. And then they're like put on a bus, like a packed out bus or something.
You know, I wouldn't feed this to the crew. That's an insider.
That's definitely yeah. some inside baseball.
We that was before we didn't even have a manager. We didn't know that we could be like, can we stay in like something a little nicer? Like we didn't even know we could do that. Like, remember when we first shot in our first true remote?
Oh, yes.
Was Seaside Heights.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is like
in
that 90-minute drive, but we would go, we were going to film multiple bits there. So we got a beachside motel in Seaside Heights.
Oh my God.
And they're like $50 a night and they
are
exactly what you think they are.
Yes. And
I mean, not even me. I mean, anyone wouldn't want to really lay down in that. I mean, you know what's going on in that. So
It's just all old scenes of Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
A Forensic File episode waiting to happen.
I still remember the smell of it. Like it was like there was a flood and then everything just air dried.
Yeah. Yeah. That was when Danny Hollis forgot to wake up. He that sounds like he died.
That's when a man died.
That makes sense though.
Yeah, like that was the shoot where that guy died. We swore to never talk about it.
That sounds like a mom doing
since then for 9 years. Anytime he walks on set in 9 years now, we go, you remembered.
It's just a weekend at Bernie's for the sound department every time.
So that was back when we had Bergman. And Bergman was like the main sound guy. And then Danny was pretty new. He was a PA, but he was started to do sound stuff. And then like he just didn't wake up when we were supposed to go. He was like on a bed and in the van. Like he got there from there to there in like 1 minute and 30 seconds. So like in the car, he was just like face all scrunched up, like couldn't understand anything that was happening, but figured it out quickly. And it was good. It was a good shoot.
It was a fun weekend, though, or weekday, whenever we shot there. That was a good.
Because that was back when we went there. We filmed like 5 to 6 bits, and then it just got spread out throughout that season.
Right.
I think also Jersey Shore was filming there at that time. That's where they lived, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was like probably 2011
or 12.
12? We started filming in 2010. By the time we went there, it might have been 11
like
or 12.
The episodes that have like all of the suntan lotion on people and things like that. Yeah.
All of that was, and I think Joe with the toe in his mouth.
Yeah.
Same lotion.
On people's blankets.
I think so.
And it rained. Right. It rained and we had to go, we had like 20 minutes and all of us ran out and did the whole thing in 20 minutes. We were like, holy cow, that was crazy.
Was it the same? Yeah. Was it the same day, or did we go back for when you threw the chicken finger and the guy like freaked out at you?
We went back a couple times. Do you remember that day? Remember like at least when we wrapped or even sneaking in between, we were in those like boardwalk bars.
Yeah,
and I mean, at least there was a bunch of times in the beginning, Q and I would just drink and not tell
anybody.
I'm glad you're bringing it up because I've like bit my tongue at certain times when we've talked about stuff. Do you remember you guys snuck a bottle to the movie theater?
You drank a bottle of Jameson.
Yeah, that was the
episode we just did with Big J.
Yes.
We were drinking in that episode.
I know. I didn't want to say it, but you guys brought it up.
Great. The Williamsburg one? The one when you were in...
No, Bay Ridge. The one where Sal Sleeps is on the poster.
The Alpine Theater?
Yeah, the one where I do my Christopher Walken.
That's so funny. The walking. Yeah.
I was hammered during that one.
Wow. Good walking.
Yeah, because we took the Jameson and we emptied bottles of Coke, put the Jameson in bottles of Coke, and we were drinking that the whole time. Yeah, that was one. There were one or two bits that we got a pretty good.
That's a very good bit. We just watched it for that episode. It's very funny. You doing the walk in. There's a 3D popcorn with Joe. Murr does that thing where he's like turning around and like giving her a nasty look.
The evil Murr.
Yeah,
look.
And then
I have to ask: was the drinking part of a challenge, or was that just total funsies?
It's just general irresponsibility.
I love it.
Type thing, yeah.
You guys were stressed. You guys were stressed at that time. You guys were doing a lot.
We also drank one day on the movie in a nightclub scene. We drank, and I think we drank a bottle, and we got in trouble.
You got in trouble.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you know, it wasn't us drinking that was the problem. We started like getting liberal with giving it to everybody else. so we were like, it was like we were getting in trouble for like, yeah. They were like
giving it to kids.
Cameras up sideways. Yeah.
All the kids that were in the nightclub scene.
And they were like, and I remember somebody saying, like, when it was you guys, it was, you know, one thing, but now it's everybody, so you can't do it.
Back to travel episodes. If I had to rank the fun of them, the first time we went to Universal was fun. That was like,
London. How great was London?
Yeah, I didn't get to go to that one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was awesome.
London was great. Miami was fun.
Miami.
They're all fun. The travel episodes are all fun.
What about all of us on the cruise? That was fun.
Where have you not been that you would like to shoot an episode in? Just curious.
Bora Bora.
I don't know.
Essex County.
Well, I know things that have been thrown out by the network as well, but let you guys go first.
Thinking about
it. We've been playing with India, Amsterdam, and Australia the last 3 years.
Yes, and I'll add Alaska to that mix.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, those are the four that keep coming up.
I would love those.
We try to skew tropical every single time, but like at this point, it's like, you know, we did Miami, we did the cruise, we did, you know, Hawaii.
Yeah.
We just want to...
You know, Paris might be fun.
Mm. Yeah. Paris would be fun.
Do that speak English.
Yeah.
That would be I would love to do Paris, actually.
It's like a Paris one would be
manageable
fun.
Manageable travel as opposed to Alaska or Australia. I mean, look, if we're going to do Australia, let's do it. I'd love to go because I'll stay again for another 3 weeks.
Yeah. Ireland?
Yeah, those European countries, I'd love to.
You know, Prague would have like the coolest look. It's just like, it's an old city. It would look like Prague. It doesn't look like anything else.
I've been there. I love it.
Do they speak English? Like you know, not their first language, but everyone kind
of
knows it.
A lot of English.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Germany. Germany's great for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of people in Prague are Americans that left because you could have $5,000 and live like a king for like 3 years. So everyone's just over. Like,
really?
I'll hang out and drink 20 beers for a dollar. Why not?
Well, why doesn't everybody live there if that's the case? That sounds great. What are the downsides of living there?
Let's do it.
I don't know. Let's all put 10 bucks in a pot and move to Prague.
Let's do it.
Norway's great too. I don't know if you've ever been there. I went there.
I want to.
I want to go. The Norway world in Epcot is very fun. Beautiful. When I've gone.
I loved Iceland, and I feel like Norway's like a weirder Norse version.
Kate, when you were in Iceland, did you catch any northern lights? Or
I really want to see those.
No, we went at the time where it's like basically the sun is out for like 20 hours.
Okay.
Which is like, it was cool. I mean, you just have
enjoyed
to.
It?
Yeah. Because the only thing that's weird is like when you're like having dinner and then like at like 7 or 8 and like, it just doesn't get darker. And then like, you're just like drinking and you're like, what's going on? You just feel weird. And like, you get home, you're like after like a night of like dinner and drinks and you go back to your hotel and you're like, all right, I guess it's time to go to bed and the sun's blaring in. You have to like bring a mask to like cover your eyes. Otherwise it's bizarre. And then you go to sleep and then if you do stay up for some reason and it does go down, it doesn't go down for long. So that's even weirder that it, like, when it does go down, it like comes back up, like as if it's like a cartoon or
cartoon,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine that. That would be so mentally taxing to just think that it's daytime all the, like, you're just on the set of Midsummer all the time.
I went to St. Petersburg, Russia, and it was like that. It was almost like 24 hours, like sunlight. But it made me feel really safe because I was like walking around the city until like 2 a.m. And it,
yeah,
you know, I just felt like.
Why did you go to St. Petersburg?
I just had always had this like obsession with Russia since I was little. And so I wanted to go there, yeah, to see it. So I went to Moscow.
That's
and
fascinating because if you asked me if one of the places I wouldn't even want, ever think of going, it would be Russia. I'd be like, that sounds like a dangerous proposition now, no?
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely not safe, but I didn't go alone. Yeah. I went with my boyfriend at the time, so.
Did you see Lenin's tomb?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You saw the body and everything?
I don't think we saw the body. I don't think you can see the
I heard
body.
They make you keep walking. Like, you can't stop,
yes.
Right?
From what I've
heard.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah.
My boyfriend had his, like, hands in his pants pockets when we – because you have to keep walking. So when mm-hmm. we walked by, and he got yelled at by the guards to take his hands out of his pockets. But we didn't know what they were saying because we don't speak Russian. So he didn't do it right away. And then he, like, they got up in his face and started yelling at him.
Oh, you're saying at Lenin's body. I thought you meant generally in Russia, you're not allowed to stop moving.
Oh, no. So when you walk.
I was like, oh my God.
You would actually do well there, Ian.
But the minute you get off the plane, so the minute you leave, you have to be in constant motion.
Yes. You can never stop. You keep up. That's why I was walking around at 2 a.m.
Keep it rolling, buddy.
Oh, that's funny.
Here are some rollerblades. Get at it.
I wonder what kind of a mental effect that has on the psyche after a while. How does that manifest? Pure daylight all the time. It's got to be better than pure darkness. Yes, all the time. That drives people suicidal, I think, right?
Yeah, seasonal depression.
Probably,
and then,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you got to deal with vampires, too.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 30 days.
There's no rest.
Yeah. For like a 5 or 6 day trip to Iceland, having daylight constantly makes you so much more productive. There'd be times that, like, you know, normally we'd be like, oh, we should probably head back soon because if we're going to be driving and it gets dark, it's harder to find things. It completely extends how late you're going to stay. You could visit like a waterfall at like 9 p.m.
That's great.
Yeah, that'd be fun for like a day or two. And then I'd be like, can we sleep?
Yeah.
Please, I'm dying.
Yeah, I guess if you get blackout shades.
Or blackout drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah,
perfect. So what are some other places where you guys drank on set?
Punishments when Sal, it's not your punishment?
Sal's locked room punishment.
Oh, right.
What was that?
Where you had to pee.
Where he had to pee his pants.
That's an all-timer.
Oh, I had to drink. Well, I drank a lot that day.
Yeah, we were hammered because we went to that bar that was in the parking lot, drank a bunch there. Then got a bottle, went back to set, and kept drinking.
That was that was on purpose, though, because
they were slipping you drinks.
I had to pee a lot on cue, and I was drinking water and I was drinking like iced tea and stuff. But I was like, the thing that's going to make me pee the fastest is alcohol. So we found a strip mall. We found a strip mall in the only thing that because bars don't, in Jersey they don't open at like 2 p.m. or whatever it was. So we were looking for bars to go to and they were not open and the only place that was open was a strip club.
Yes.
It wasn't a strip club because they can't serve alcohol in strip clubs, so it was a bikini bar. It's just like weird. It's just like these girls in bikinis walking around while everybody drinks rum and coke.
Get out of here, lady. I'm just drinking so I can pee my pants later and escape. You know?
Exactly. We walked in. There was like one person there, if that, and just a bunch of people in bikinis. And I was like, you know, I'm not here for that. And then
they're like, thanks, man. You don't have to say that.
Can I get a shot and a beer and put a shirt on, please?
Everybody cover up.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Because I was so nervous. To the bit rests on whether I can produce a lot of urine immediately. Yeah. And then I remember when I first tried to do it, we had to take it twice because something didn't go right with the first pee.
I don't think enough people signed, I think.
Yeah. We stopped it. Like I think I started
midstream?
They freaked out. Do you guys remember how much I peed? No, I did pee the first time because I remember the poor Christine had to like blow dry my pants so I could put them back on.
Oh my God.
That's why they're the stinky crew.
Wait a second. You were doing something where you had to pee your pants and you didn't bring an extra pair of pants.
Well, we had to need to have same ones.
Khakis.
You know why? Because I think they use the clip of the first time where they're telling you have to do.
So that's what happened. I don't think that was the intent, but we realized it on the fly. Uh-oh, I was already in these pants. These pants don't match.
Right.
So we just took a blow dryer to it. And then the second time I went in, I peed within the first 5 minutes. And when I tell you, your body doesn't want you to, like, you push, but like your body doesn't want it to happen.
Right.
You have to mentally and physically break through that barrier. And then once you do that, you pee so much. It just kept coming to the point where I was standing in a huge puddle and it was hot and it smelled like pee. And we were in, this is like when they had escape rooms where like they just started. So everybody was in one little room with like not a lot of stuff. It wasn't like one of these extravagant ones.
Yeah.
It was definitely like nothing against the place, but it was definitely like low rent. And I had to stay with 55 minutes. We didn't win. And I stayed 55 minutes in a room.
Oh my God.
That was an insane idea. I remember like
my favorite conversation we've ever had discussing a bit on the show is that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the network would be like, because we were gonna like maybe pee elsewhere. I think like at a ball game or something. They were like, but you can't just pee. Like, you're just going to pee? And I'm like, yeah, that's freaking real embarrassing and hard to do. And then we had the idea of the escape room where, like, I would pee and then these people would be trapping me. And then I'm going to have to try to get clues soaked.
That's what we were most happy about. Oh, like, that's what really liked was, like, he's got to then solve the clues. Yeah,
work right. with them closely.
Right, that's what
also the warm pee turns a little cold after that. Oh. Also, like, I was wearing linen pants and it, like... Oh. To your leg and so like the warm feeling gets cold, then it's cold smelling pee, and then I'm like 35 minutes in, I'm like asking the lady, like, what do you think this headdress means, you know, like we're talking yeah. about like, the glue.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty gross. I mean, you also got peed on.
Yeah.
And yeah,
yeah,
you're just realizing now that you're like, I do but have a fetish. Like
it's a disinfectant, so it's not so bad.
Oh. These guys are making pee, like making you get peed on.
Benjamin's
pee.
Yeah,
Benjamin Cat.
They dig through elephant crap too, yeah. and pick up dog poop, and drink breast milk. A lot of bodily stuff.
Yeah,
well,
but
let's not get too judgmental about the last one, but.
There was the fact that you drank that breast milk shocks me to this day. I didn't think you were going to do it.
I had no choice. What do you mean?
Yeah, I just still didn't think you were going to do it. I was like,
I had drank breast milk before, and I will tell you, don't do it.
Whose breast milk
is it? Isn't it really good for your skin, though?
Like a friend of ours.
I have great skin. I have a great skin.
Yeah, they had to get the milk tested and stuff too to make sure it didn't have some kind of bacteria in it.
Oh,
it was the whole process.
I was trying to get them to put bacteria in it. I was like, this is a punishment, right? Let's
give it to them. Well, that's actually
Parvo in the stores.
What was that conversation like? Casey, were you the one that asked her for it?
I think Joe Bergio did, or Jay. Yeah, because it was a friend of ours. I can't say her name because she's a teacher. And she was like, can you not put, we were like, because it was around the time, it was time when I was doing Insider. So I was like, all right, like, we're going to get you on TV. And she was like, can you not? She still came to the punishment though. She was anonymous, but it's so funny that it's her milk.
What was even worse that day, right after that, they pushed me in without me knowing.
Yes.
And I don't know where we were, like what that body of water was, but it was a consistency that I had never felt before. The water was like coagulating.
That's Jersey, baby.
That's bad. And
it was brackish. It was like old brackish water.
Yeah, and I fell in it mouth open. Yep. And that was worse than the breast milk because I came out, I would call it no joke, 20 seconds before I had a raging sore throat
There was that. I'm gonna tell you, buddy. That's that. Like where we were was like where other boats like linger, and there's no like real flow of water. So it's like it's all kinds of shit. There's gasoline in it. There's
like, shit wouldn't happen in Russia.
I also fell in the Hudson, and it was the day after you guys gave me the first Jaden tattoo. So I had an open flesh wound on my thigh. Forgot about it. And I was in the canoe and I fell into the Hudson. Remember that?
I didn't even think about that.
You guys have weird weeks, huh? It's just like all these things back to back.
I stopped even reporting back. Like I'd come home to my family or my parents, like, and I just at some point just stopped telling them about stuff. And then they would be like, you didn't tell us you had to get shoved out of a helicopter into a lake. And I was like, I know, but I just, that's like my every
that was last week.
Yeah, that was last week. Yeah.
I'll tell you another double day that was a heavy one was Q had to eat the turkey legs at like a singles event. But then we did a singles event as like a IFB or like, you know what I mean? It was like a two person. Nah. So you had to eat all that shit. You were exhausted. You know, like you were just, I mean, it was the trip of.
I was like gagging on turkey grease.
Yeah, it was rough. And then you had to do that next bit. And that was like, we were all like, what do we do? Is this a force
majeure? Yeah, but I took the easy job. That was the bit where you had to agree with anything that the person with you said. Right. And I was the person who was spitting the lies. So I had the easier job.
Murray, right? I remember that. Yeah.
That was with Murray. Yeah, yeah.
But that was, if you watch that bit, just know that he's like raging with a tryptophan in his body.
Yeah. I'm like, there's gravy coming out of my pores. Ugh. It's disgusting.
Oh, I don't know how you eat all that.
It was so bad. Your mouth was all greasy. Your hands are all greasy. All the turkey was swinging off all the ligaments and everything.
But the smell too. Like I had this grease turkey smell the whole time. It was terrible.
I've never seen your demeanor change from like the bit when the bit started. You were like, I'm gonna like talk to some ladies. You know what I mean? Like eat a little turkey, and then you were just like laying down, like dry heaving.
So defeated. Yeah, I was just, please, can we stop? Can we stop?
Because a lot of punishments start from a place of like, oh man, I'm like nervous about this. That one was, you were like, you know, you were like, this is gonna suck, but it's like at least like there's an element to it that's kind of fun.
Well, the other thing with that too is just like, all right, everything we just described, right? Mm-hmm. But then also I have to speed date.
Yes.
So you know what I mean? So like in the moment, I'm meeting some and there were some lovely, you know, wonderful people I was talking to. Some of the ladies were just like, oh, this is cool. They're nice. Like they're not being dicks about the fact that I have the turkey legs and stuff. So it was a really weird. Yeah, that's one of those things that's like I never thought I'd be in this position before. But that's friendly. Like to me, the worst thing ever was the Universal Studios tram one.
Yeah.
Like that was because that was concentrated hate. That was concentrated, palpable hate coming in my direction.
What happened?
just happened?
I love that Ian's here for all.
Well, Ian.
I had to keep pulling the stop, the emergency stop on the Universal Backlot Tram Tour. So I kept everybody's trip.
Yeah.
And then they started going, well, because this guy keeps asking questions, we have to skip some things like the Back to the Future part, like stuff like that. Yeah. So people were just hating on, like one father stood up and he points to me, he goes, I'm going to find you when this ride is over. and he was serious. Yeah. And it was just, even kids were looking at me with hate in their eyes. It was really hard.
So Joe Ambrosio said that the toughest thing was that he was on that tram. And he said that he was in like little pockets of people saying outlandish stuff that you didn't even make the cut because like not every single person was mic'd, but people were saying like some like real like messed up stuff that he was almost like, I wish I had like a mic on me or a camera to get all that stuff. Because, you know, we only saw like a small part of an entire tram of people that hated your guts.
Did anyone on the tram know after they were told what show it was for?
They were told, yeah.
Okay, but they didn't recognize you in the moment.
No, they didn't. The guy who threatened me knew the show, actually.
Oh, wow.
And were they cool with that after?
He thought it was a big fan. That's how we got him to sign. Oh. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we had, yeah. That,
well, the
that
only person involved with it was the tram driver, who actually was aces. He played it really well.
He did.
We went over with him so much because this one was one of those things where it was like so open-ended. Like there was, could be so many variables on how someone would react, how the collective group would react. And it needed to be believable. And it couldn't be believable without the authority figure of the tram reacting the exact way that he would really react in real life. And so we sat with that guy and drilled him on, like, if this happens and this, what's going to be your temperament if this happens? Because we also need him to help us elevate it slightly or play to it slightly. There was a lot to ask of that guy. He did a really good job.
He did really well.
It's funny that sometimes, like, our comedic bits hinge on someone that we don't know at all.
Yeah.
it's like we do all this work. It's like we're flown out to California, this like awesome idea for the tram punishment. You have to do this thing where people might kill you. And then we're also like, and I hope this guy works out.
Or Kayla. Remember how perfect Kayla was?
Throwing Mark at the table, the best.
Like, could we have gotten a better person? That, you know, like, there's so many times that you're like,
that's an old timer for me, that punishment.
I know. There's just certain,
love it.
And the fact that it hinged upon the fact that she could pick up Mern, throw him through a table, but like also be so cool and like go right back to like just being normal right after and stuff.
Tell Ian, giving in a little breakdown. Yeah.
Okay. Explain.
It's also, again, me and Ian lived together for most of these episodes.
That's right.
Like, it's not like they were on our DVR. That's right. We watched them. I told you about some of these. But yeah, the Kayla one was Murray was going to a party. And it was like an outdoor cocktail party. So he was like dressed up nice. And then there was one woman there at the party that he had to constantly try to pin.
Like to the ground. The party,
like pin her on the ground. But she was a Olympic gold medalist in jiu-jitsu or something. And he didn't know that. But she was just like in like a gown, basically. And so he'd go up to her and try to like put her in a headlock and stuff. And she would pick him up.
Yeah.
Throw him through tables, yeah. Oh,
also, it was at the time where he was wearing Q's hair. We should explain that to you. Q, we had a punishment where Mer lost.
Also, Ian, Mer is one of the jokers. He's one of my bosses that you've met.
Yeah.
It's so funny when you take a step back and explain to someone, like when we're all listening to it, it sounds so funny.
I'm actually really glad that Ian even it doesn't know to explain it is so funny. Like, you know?
Yeah.
That was so that she's an MVP, but also like Dr. Frank has to be an MVP. I mean, like he put his
Dr. Frank.
I mean,
Dr. Frank is great. I am still bummed that pun always intended that we didn't give him 4 prostate exams that day.
Yeah, or even a third.
One of our Monique's biggest regrets, we didn't push for the
third.
The third was great. And that's why I thought the fourth was so funny, because there's like rule of threes in comedy. And then to break it, to just give him a fourth prostate exam.
But we only did 2.
I know. Well, it
was a complete failure.
We fought hard to get the 2 because a lot of the crew, the stinky crew, was grossed out that we wanted to do it. They're like, this kind of feels
so gross.
Like we're edging into like a
but
no
isn't that
territory.
A punishment to Melissa?
Well, it is.
I disagree. Yeah, it was. But I was like, I might kill.
Who on the crew said that?
Stinky ones. All the stinky ones. We'll name names.
It's going to be fun when we get back.
It's going to be fun. I also was like thinking of, like, you know, Ian was in a bit, like we were just saying before, Ian was in a bit that has been shot, but it can't be aired until like we finish the season or, you know, we have some other idea or something. But he's in it. There's that Joe punishment that we filmed.
And Joe punishment's amazing.
It's unbelievable. So like,
it's really good.
I keep thinking of some of the stuff that we filmed for season 9, and we were so excited to be back. It was because we had a big break before season 9.
We had a big break. The first one in a long time.
The biggest one we ever had. Yeah. Except for season 1, where we didn't know if we were going to renew. But the thing with Joe that we just did was so funny that I guess we can't say what it is, but my favorite part was like the actual accent reports.
Yes.
I think I a lot of the unused ones as well.
Okay. Well, we shouldn't say much more because that element is great. That could mean so much though. I love the idea of they now have heard what an accident report and what that means. And they're never going to see it coming.
Well, I have a question. Okay. We talked about Q and pissing everyone off on the tram. Sal, in the episode that we watched for the podcast, you had to yell bingo with a million senior citizens who were getting so irate with you, and you were so scared the entire time. Which would you have rather been Q, or is that like
good
the
question.
Scariest thing?
I gotta imagine that the feelings were similar because we did it
hilarious.
at
Foxwoods.
Foxwoods. And it was a 1,100 seat or like auditorium venue for the bingo. It was pretty full. Those people, they just don't take it. They take it very seriously. I didn't think that I would get into a physical altercation. Q might have thought that on his, though, because I think most of my people were older. But I did have the full mob feeling the exact same way toward me. And you start to feel like a piece of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you and the one old lady said the same thing. There was one old lady, she did say she was right behind me, and she goes, "I'll break his legs."
Yeah.
But
with what, her oxygen tank?
No, but it was like it got so bad because the board was an LED on the screen.
Wow.
So everyone saw the thing at the exact same time, and I was yelling bingo before the ball landed even.
So yeah.
They like knew, you know, in like Naked Gun when he yells strike three before the pitch gets
there. Yeah, that's such a funny word.
They just got so after like the first one they were like, annoying mistake. The second one they're like, all right, someone teaches clown how to play the game. The third one, they might have been like, is he challenged in any way? Is something didn't And then I think the next like six, they were all like, how do we eliminate this person?
You did 24 bingos over 40 minutes.
You know that?
Is the stat. No. Yeah. I took it from inside jokes. I don't know if that's true.
Wow.
Because I also know the people that do inside jokes. May or may not be like factually accurate.
A little fast and loose.
A little fast and loose on some of the pop up videos.
Sal yells like bingo 1,000,000 times in 3 minutes.
People think that I sometimes do the hosted things for that. People think I write all of those inside jokes. I think I write none of them. I think early on I used to write a few, but then also people tell me that they read them in my voice, which is really funny.
Well, that is funny.
That's really, but also like, I don't know if I like that, or I mean like just the idea that they attribute it all to me. Cause sometimes it's just like a point of view and not a fact. It's just like,
yeah, that's crazy. But that made me think, have you guys ever read the fan fiction about yourself?
It's only the stuff that ends up with one of us having sex with the other.
Yeah, those
one.
Are the ones I'm talking about.
Oh yeah. You've read all of them.
So you've read my diaries.
Oh yeah. I know all about it. Yeah. On one of the cruises, I think the second one, we were doing the live show at night, and Brian Johnson had some printed out.
Oh, yeah.
And read it to the crowd. It made my mother get up and leave the room.
Oh my God. Brian Johnson's the best.
He's the best.
He's funny, man. Will say anything. And that, yeah, like those like Space Monkey shows, that's what, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
They're very fun to go to.
He likes shocking people, and he's really good at it. But in a funny way. So yeah, he's a gem, that guy.
Yeah. Also my co-ghost for R&H Beer.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I see your Ghostbuster shirt on. It just made me think of it. That's also, Ian's probably going to get a lot of Ghostbusters gear. I think Ian knows every word of Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah.
The movie doesn't have to be playing. He just knows it.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, there he is.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ian held up a Ghostbusters shirt for everyone.
That's right. It's not recorded on Zoom. Whoops.
I wanted to bring up another thing real quick about bingo before we move on. Do you guys remember, so there's the final beat where the security comes to take you out. But the real reason that they sent that, like, you know, when we talked about, was to protect Sal. Yeah. It was like, it ended up being a great beat that looks like security rustled you.
You didn't tell me that was going to happen.
No, we didn't tell you. We didn't know we were going to, I don't think that was planned. I thought we would just be like, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think we sent in security because there was like threats and people getting mad. That's another one where I can't believe people signed, because there's not a lot of blurs.
Yeah.
You know,
I will say the inside jokes pop up for that says Sal was arrested, which is not true. I think that's just because it was a shorter word than whatever else they were to explain why he was leaving.
If I'm ever flipping and an inside jokes is on, like just like pop up video, like I watch it, you can't not read it. You can't not.
Yeah.
So sometimes people will text me and be like, I don't like these. Like someone I know is like, I don't like these, 'cause like, it takes away, like I'm watching the jokes and I have to stop and read the thing.
Yeah.
But when I watch it, 80% of that stuff, I'm learning. I'm like, no way. So it's pretty like informative, I guess.
That's great.
They have them all on HBO Max. I just, for the first time, I went into HBO Max like yesterday or the day before. And I was like, what is this? And like, they have the four seasons. I guess the first four, and then they're going to release the second four. But there's a whole nother category that just says Impractical Jokers Inside Jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you open it, it says one season, and it's every single one ever done just unlisted inside of it. Like almost like on your computer when they didn't organize a file folder.
Yeah.
It's completely all listed, the wrong episode numbers, the wrong seasons in random order. It says one season and there's like 100 episodes in the folder.
When I started at True, I was so confused about Inside Jokes because they put me on your show right away. And so I was like going into all these folders to like learn things. And I didn't know what Inside Jokes was. It is one season and like all the deliverables, like all these paper deliverables that the production company has to deliver is in one folder.
Oh my God.
And they're all episode numbers are different than the episode numbers of the show. But that guess it what? Actually is.
Somebody did a cut and paste into HBO Max. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's maddening. It's if I was a viewer, I'd be like, what is this? How can I consume this?
They're like, it's like the episode numbers are in the order of the episodes that they made into Inside Jokes. So if they started with season four, then that's like episode 100. I hate when anyone ever asks me for Inside Jokes because I'm like, I don't want to go into those folders.
I have an actual question that just made me think of this. I actually don't know how television works. Like when you deliver like the show, is it like attaching it into an email? Like at the end of the day, is everything just like uploading like in that way? Like if I attach like a file to send it to somebody, is
probably a feed to the cable company? Oh yeah, why did we know? But if people wanted to know, I don't know why I'm talking. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I don't know much about the technical aspect of this, but there is like a network operations center.
Okay.
And they do stuff that gets it like on the air.
So
NetSouth delivers files of the master now, but like when True TV, when we were not a part of this bigger company, when we operated kind of by ourselves, you delivered on tape, which is I thought was crazy when I started there.
It's like a message in a bottle is how I said
that is so cool.
To air.
But it changed, and I think that's why all the files are kind of crazy for Inside Jokes, because everyone was kind of doing it themselves at True, whereas now we have a separate post team, which is awesome for me because I never worked with technical deliveries before. I only ever worked on the creative side of things.
Yeah.
So now they work with those folks at North South and get all of those things taken care of.
Here's what I want it to be. I want it to be that, you know, North South finishes the cut, you guys approve it, we have the final cut. And that gets sent to a person who literally creates a laser disc. Like, you know what I mean? Like as if you're cutting a vinyl record, but it cuts into a laser disc. And then that goes on to like, you know, in the scene in Shawshank where he's like in the room and he plays it to like to the prisoners, he plays all the classical music. I want it to be that, like he puts it on a thing that like plays it and it like goes out to the world. You know what I mean? Like that's what I want television to be, but it's probably just like you upload the file and it's there and it just plays in sequence.
Yes.
who names the episodes and writes the episode descriptions I see in the guide?
Not us. I think
Simi and I write the episode titles.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you guys do a good job.
Thanks.
Which son of a...
One of my favorites was...
No, I always read it. I kind of laugh at them sometimes.
The episode that Q, his punishment... was to like break all of those eggs, the baby turtle eggs.
Yeah.
So this is the one I'm most proud of. I named it To Hatch a Predator.
Oh, that was a good one.
That's fun.
That is a good one. Fun. Oh, I like that. That's funny.
That's gotta be fun that you get to name the episodes. That's like just a, it feels like just a fun task.
Yeah.
They used to ask us, James and I at like in the producer's room, they used to ask us to come up with those, you know, like is Sal, like, you know, no, yeah. It's like, is Sal, no, like, Bingo is his name-o, you know, it's that kind of stuff.
And then later tonight, right?
That, but we would always just, like, someone would be like, I don't know, like, does Sal sip the teat of justice in this? Like, we would just, like, go off the track.
They, yeah, it was one of those tasks, like you said, it was fun, but it was one of those things, like, just, like, that was, like, our act of rebellion was, like, we would do, like, two good ones, and then they'd get like really dark and like really like a little bit too far. Yeah. And then they're like, you guys don't need to do that anymore. We're done. Like, we're going to have the post team. And it went to like Kevin Felix, like coming up with like some puns and stuff.
I think Kevin Felix knocks that out of the park every time. Now. Well, this has been so much fun. I think that's, I think we're wrapping it up now. This is what an incredible saga, a double episode.
I mean,
amazing. We're going to just throw this into a folder with the inside jokes and hopefully we don't lose it.
And know it.
Well, I can't wait till this is on Laserdisc and it gets put to a Blockbuster video, and then
we're gonna make audio cassettes of this.
Yeah,
that's what we'll do.
Thank you, Ian, for hanging in for two eps with us. Thank you, buddy.
Oh, thank you, man. It was a pleasure to hang out with all you guys, and I'm so glad I could be here with Q, Sal on his first one. Tina, this is great.
Ian, do you want to please promote anything you want to promote?
Oh, well, you can follow me on Instagram and at Ian Fidance, IanFidance. It's also my website, ianfidance.com. I still have a Twitter account, but I deleted the app, and it's been great for my mental health. So, I put out videos, and
Did you have an album recently, Ian?
Yeah, I did. I have an EP out, and actually, Sal, I am so grateful to you. You tweeted that out, and I got some great responses from it. So thank you,
man. Awesome.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Brian, would you like to promote anything, or where can people find you?
Oh man, I'm going back to just screwing around my house for another few months. Pretty excited about that.
Cool.
That's it.
Love it. Love it.
What does your hat say? I can't see.
Oh, it's Dolly Parton.
Oh, very nice.
Very cool.
Dolly.
I just read a day or two ago that she's worth nearly like, I think it's like something like $300 to $500 million, almost $500 million.
Yeah, wow. she's something special. That
I actually saw her. Really good.
I went backstage to meet her.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, she goes, she was super sweet and nice. And she goes, well, I don't know your show, Sugar, but it sounds like it's doing well. And I was like, thank you, Dolly. It's doing all right.
Oh, yeah, so she was nice.
Have you ever been to Dollywood?
No, it is on my list of places that I want to go.
That maybe that's where you guys should shoot next, and I'll come because I really want to go to Dollywood.
It would be Pigeon Forge. I'd head right down there. I would do
part of the decision making team, I think.
I'll call Simi after this.
Get Simi on the phone. Tell him we want to do Dollywood.
She has offices in Nashville that I don't think they're widely publicized, but the locals know where it is. And I jotted that down. So if you ever want to pass by, maybe we see her on the street coming in or out.
I can't believe you're the person who's great spreading idea. That information. Most private
I'm not
person.
Spreading it.
Yeah.
Also, you should check out Dolly Parton's Secret Tattoos. Give that a Google.
Ooh.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay. I intend to.
Yep.
Secret tattoos?
She's secret covered tattoos. In tattoos, but it's a secret.
Nuh-uh.
Check it out.
Not Dolly.
Wow.
Look it up.
She does wear a bodysuit under
all the time,
her cloak.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her even more.
Secret tattoos, guys.
I thought that was just to hold everything in, honestly.
Yeah, maybe.
Dina.
Well, I love you guys so much. Honestly, thank you guys for, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't even be doing this podcast. So thank you guys so much for being here, but also for, you know, creating the show. We love you so much.
Yeah, thanks, fellas.
Podcast.
Couldn't do without you guys.
All right. Well, that's it for now. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we'll be back soon and we'll have some other episodes, both of the main show and what you really are here for, the official Impractical Jokers podcast.
I mean,
love it.
The only thing.
Bye.
Bye, guys.